Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. Welcome to our 100th video episode of our show, and our 148th overall weekly show, not counting our special shows, so our numbers are actually higher than that. I'm also happy to announce, I did the math, that all of our Tab Geeks shows combined have crossed 100,000 downloads. This is absolutely mind-boggling to me, so thank you so much to all of you who subscribe and listen weekly and whenever and wherever you listen. We also just finished recording our Jamf certification episode, which went really well, so stay tuned for the full quality edited version of that coming out in the next week or so, but if you absolutely must watch it now, it is still available on the YouTube channel under the live episodes, so you can see those there. And lastly, in the intro here, we have a bunch of Bard updates, Google Bard updates for you today. And I'm happy to say that Bard officially knows who we are correctly the first time around this time.
Really?
Oh, nice. Yep, I tested it this time, and Bard got it correct. So, Steve, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, we had our first kind of live event there for a little while. It's been a little while since we've had our last one.
Yeah.
Well, not including the... Yeah, that's right. I thought we were going to... We didn't do any lives down in Next. I was thinking, oh, we might have done one in Next. We didn't.
It was too intense. And honestly, with the internet problems they had on day one, I was not comfortable trying to do a live broadcast and then marketing at the same time while we were up there. Like, dude, I was so busy. I did not get to the show floor until the end of the show, an hour before it closed. Like, there was just so much going on and so many people to see. It was like a big reunion, a big hug to all of the people that, you know, to and from all the people that we have met online and haven't really met in person or haven't seen in a very long time, including you. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, this was our first live episode that we've done in a while. And honestly, I'm hoping in the next couple of months, especially with all the people that we met at Next, to start doing a lot more guest shows. And I think honestly that the guest shows can probably be individual segments, individual episodes instead of their own segments, just because no matter what it is, we usually end up schmoozing for an hour or so. And to ask people to listen to a 2-hour show, I don't think is in most people's bandwidths. I'd rather break it up into two so that, you know, they can download it for their ride on the subway or whatever and listen to one on the way there and then the special segment on the way back or something. So, all right. We got probably a 45-minute show today and a hard stop for each of us in just under an hour. So let's jump into the topics.
Yeah, we've got a pretty decent week of updates for you right now. Like I said, Jesse said, a lot of things came out with Bard. A little minor update with some driver desktop things that got adjusted from the last time we spoke to you about them. But let's run through those published releases first. We've got seven for you. First one is the ability to find and install third-party add-ons directly within Google Meet is now out. You can now add Google Groups to spaces in Google Chat, something many of us have been using for a while.
But
for those in the general population, you're getting those features now. You can now also collaborate more seamlessly with live pointers in Google Slides. Next, you can now pair your video tile in Google Meet to improve accessibility for users with language interpreters. I know you're... do a lot of with language interpretation there, Jesse. And then next one is differentiate messages. You can now differentiate messages better with additional modernizations in Google Chat. We have the ability to turn Q&As on and off for Google Meet live stream viewers. And then finally, there's some additional improvements for monitoring Google Meet hardware issues in the admin console. As I mentioned, there's a bunch of Bard updates. There's about six of those that have come out. A little new landing page as you go into Bard. I don't know when that kind of came to fruition, but I was just jumping over there just now to see that. So that is also new, and some looks like some Chrome extensions available for Bard as well. Driver update, I said version, I was saying version 81 had some additional comments added to the update that we spoke about last time. So I'll go through those in a little bit of a detail there. And then not too much in the news, not too much this week. We just kind of have one article here where how four-story buildings became Google Workspaces. on the Google blog. But I thought you were maybe going to add this one, but another interesting update on Google stuff is that Google Podcasts is coming to an end in 2024. Yes.
It's not really coming to an end. It's merging with YouTube Music, which it should have done quite a while ago anyway. But I imagine there are going to be a lot of people pissed off about this one. And rightly so, honestly. It has a ton of fans. And I don't know, I guess that's part of the announcement we're going to have to look into here, that because I actually missed seeing this one. I was offline yesterday for a holiday, a lot of people were upset.
It just got published 5 hours ago, so...
Oh, okay. So I really missed it. We've just been happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Recording the previous episode, just haven't checked our news feeds. So.
Well, I figured when you told me that it was announced, I figured it happened at the YouTube event the other day. YouTube had a big what's new in YouTube, and I didn't include it in our show notes because I didn't think that was so relevant to most of you out there. But there were a lot of new announcements coming out of that, so I kind of figured this was part of it. But one of the issues that people have talked about is that YouTube Music doesn't allow for offline downloads unless you're paying for it, if I'm not mistaken. I do know that they were talking about changing that, but I guess we're gonna have to. I'll read it while you do the other updates, and I'll let you know what it says. Yeah,
sounds good.
It makes sense. They had to do this. This is inevitable. Anyway, onward.
Okay, so we'll jump into those published releases that we have for you, and then move on to the rest. So first one is the ability to find and install third-party add-ons directly within Google Meet. So that is just going to make it easier to find those third-party apps that you may want to use within your Meet events. So there's going to be a little kind of at the top of the activities panels, you'll see a new featured add-on category. So from there, it kind of takes two clicks to install and begin using apps such as Confluence, Figma, Poly, Redi, and a few things else that they have there for your meetings. That also comes with a few different, there's also a few other things here. Miro Meet integration is now available via the Miro add-on. So you may recall a while back in 2022, there's that Miro integration with Google Meet. And today that kind of extends some of the functionality there where Miro will be open directly in Meet and allow you to leverage Miro's rich capabilities designed for innovation without leaving Meet at all. And you can also access the Miro integration with the Meet within Meet by installing the Miro add-on from the Google Workspace Marketplace. And there were some other, I think, updates on the Marketplace where I think they're centralizing a lot of the apps for also chat, the add-ons for chat as well there, and kind of giving you one place to go to look for what you can add into the Workspace applications.
Where does this leave Jamboard? Does Jamboard open in Meet? Miro is a Jamboard replacement. Why are they strategically? Is this typical Google pushing multiple things and seeing what sticks, or is Jamboard on the way out?
Well, I think Miro's just been. It is. I mean, the Jamboard is out. That's already gone. I mean, not the Jamboard application, but
can you do a Jamboard in Meet?
The Jamboard board, right? It's the Avacore board.
But it's still running Jamboard. So, you can still do that from Meet, can't you? I don't know. I don't use it very often, to be honest. But maybe that's why Miro is there, because it's a better app. Or is Google just going to buy Miro?
I don't know. We shall see. Roll up for this one. Rep release domains. We'll see that now. And the scheduled release domains, we'll start seeing that starting the 18th of September on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. And this will be hitting all Google Workspace customers. Next, pretty straightforward, simple one here. It's kind of adding Google Groups to Spaces in Google Chat. That's exactly what it is. It's being able to do the management of those members through groups and allowing you to kind of add in people to those groups without having to go back into the Spaces and kind of keep those people updated. So as you add and remove users to groups, they will come in and out of those spaces there. And kind of helps with kind of the management of your members to those spaces. So it's going to just make it a little bit easier to do there. So some details here in the update. Memberships are updated from groups to chat. which means changes to space memberships will not be reflected in the group members list. So it says there are some groups and their members may not be visible to all members in the space, as, of course, group member visibility in spaces will respect the group's member visibility settings set in Google Groups. So just, I mean, that's just the same way you would have members being shown if you're composing an email and using one of the group emails, you know, whether or not you'll see those members there, or if you're hovering over the group in Calendar, whether or not you see the members' names, all based on your group permissions and what you're allowed to see for that. So group members can also be promoted to space managers, and there's some info on how to do that as well in the announcement on making someone a space manager.
Did you say that you were using this feature before the show here?
Well, I'm pretty sure I was, and then I went to go back and look at all of my spaces, and I'm like, I'm not finding any of the groups added to the spaces that I thought I would have had groups added to. So I thought it was, but I haven't found some examples yet.
Interesting.
So it could just be I was looking at all of our old spaces that, you know, were in place prior to the groups. But I mean, when I saw this announcement, we were at Next, I thought I'd been using this for a while.
Could be. So. Well, I actually have been using this for months. I've been part of the beta, and I love the way that it has evolved and come to fruition as the beta continued and they incorporated feedback from all of us who were using it. And so far, it's great because you can just, similar to how you would with a shared drive, you add the group and everybody gets access, and you add somebody new to the group and they get access automatically. And, you know, anything that makes it easier to add and remove and control access is a win in my book.
So there's some admin controls that come out, and as well as the end user controls here. So there's some different rollout paces for that. So you can kind of manage some of the settings here. So there's so admins here says by default, any space manager or user with permissions to manage members can add groups to a space. And there's a way to limit this feature so that only Google Group owners and managers can add groups to spaces. And so you can go and configure that in your admin console and define what preference you have for that. So that admin control is rolling out, started already on the 18th of September on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for both rapidly scheduled release domains. And then the ability for those users to add groups to spaces, that is starting a little bit later here, the 17th of October for rapid release domains. On a gradual rollout for up to 15 days for that visibility there to happen. And then the scheduled release domains, we'll see that a couple weeks later on the 1st of November, also on the same gradual rollout pace. And it's available to, they're starting to add in here, to all domain verified Google Workspace customers. So I don't really know who is using Google Workspace without domain verification. I guess there was that one instance of Google Workspace, right, where you could just join it as a business unit without getting domain verified. So I think that's why they're clarifying this here.
Which one is this? I was reading the other article. Sorry.
Workspace yeah. Essentials, right? That's something that you can just join without actually verifying the domain and having an admin console for, like a non-domain verified environment. That's
perhaps
what they're kind of mean there. Talking to domain verified workspace customers. Looking at the next update, then we'll move on here. You can now collaborate more seamlessly with live pointers in Google Slides. And this will allow you and your colleagues to see each other's mouse pointers in real time. So kind of get an idea of where everyone is at and what they're doing within the Google Slide presentation.
So this is cool.
Not too much. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's just kind of like where you were able to see, you know, where a user was in a Google Doc, what they were doing, what they were kind of like trying to, edit, what they were selecting. You'll start to see that now in a similar way with Google Slides.
Now just bring this feature to Meet with anybody sharing their screen, and I would be a very happy camper.
There you go. Yeah. Rollout pace for this one, rep release domains, we'll see this starting the 18th of September on a gradual rollout, up to 15 days there for visibility, and then scheduled release domains, we'll see this starting the 3rd of October on a gradual rollout as well. Next, you can now start to pair your video tile in Google Meet to improve accessibility for users with language interpreters. So there's this update will kind of allow you, will allow you to pair your video tile with another meeting participant's tile, so that once that happens, the other meeting participants will see both tiles shown next to each other, and then that both pairing partners will have the, their borders outlined in blue when speaking. So that will the tile pairing will also be indicated in the meeting captions as well. So pretty cool. I think this was something that you know, we've been talking about on some of those Meets calls way back when about how to improve some of the, you know, functionality and accessibility of Google Meet meetings.
Absolutely.
So, some of those things that we talked about are finally coming out.
Woo-hoo! Took them long enough.
Mm-hmm. Roll-up pace for this one is almost the same as our last one here, except so we have rep release domains also 18th of September. On a 15-day gradual rollout, but scheduled release domains will see this starting on the 2nd of October, with a full rollout taking 1 to 3 days for visibility there. This is going to be available to all Workspace customers, as well as users with personal Google accounts. Okay, ways to kind of differentiate messages better with additional monetizations in Google Chat is now available. And I think this was kind of what, I don't know if it's exactly what I was kind of mentioning to you, but I saw kind of, I think, some new visualizations of how my like unread messages are being shown.
Does show the squiggly line that we're talking about.
I don't remember seeing the squiggly lines. Yeah, I don't remember seeing that until recently. But yeah. But with this one here, this one is going to see some changes here, where each incoming message will have an independent message bubble aligned to one side with a solid colored background. And then each outgoing message will have an independent message bubble aligned to the other side with a different color background, so you can better interpret the back and forth of messages.
And also highlighting the redesign that is in here that I still don't have. I don't know, have you seen it yet? Have you gotten the shortcuts and the redesign of that area on the left?
I don't know. See here.
And this is the chat window, and that's the one that I use.
Oh, shortcuts home and
yeah, that's the one that they keep showing off, and I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't seen any kind of a timeline as to when we should expect to see that, other than now. Like, it should be coming out. Where is it? I'm in all the alphas, as far as I know. Still hasn't rolled out for some reason, so I don't know what they're waiting for. They keep announcing new features, showing the new features in the new interface, but the whole new interface hasn't showed up yet, so gradual rollout starting on September 19th, rather, which was, you know, several days ago already, and I don't see those updates, and I don't see the UI update either, so I don't know what's going on there.
Not exactly sure.
Give it to me. Give it to me now.
Yeah,
I did find it entertaining that the see more, or the click for more on the recap post, says learn more about message bubbles in chat. Message bubbles. Going to war with, what do you call it? iOS blue bubbles versus green bubbles. Now they're bringing it to chat. Fight, fight.
Yeah. Let's see here. Looking at some rollouts and updates. I think this is, not much else here. A couple of screenshots of what this looks like, though, if you want to have a look at what those changes are, what to expect. You'll be able to start to see these on the 19th of September for rep release domains on a gradual 15-day rollout for visibility. And then scheduled release domains, we'll see this on the 3rd of October, also on a gradual rollout with 15 days for visibility. That is for the web rollout pace, by the way, for those Android users. I'll start to see that on the 27th of September on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for both scheduled release and rep release domains. It is going to be available to Workspace customers and all users with personal Google accounts as well. So everyone's getting that one. Yeah, some more settings here for Google Meet live stream viewers. You'll be able to turn Q&A on or off now in those events. So be able to go into the settings for the Q&A questions and be able to toggle that on and off as needed. So pretty straightforward in terms of what that is all about. This is going to be rolling out, to the select few customers that have access to this. That will be starting on the 19th of September on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility on both rep release and schedule release domains. And those specific customers are going to be Enterprise Essentials Plus customers, Enterprise Starter, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Standard, Education Plus, and the Teaching and Learning Upgrade customers. Starting to see Enterprise Starter a lot more mentioned in these updates. Next, and I believe last, is this the last one? I think it is. We have some additional improvements for monitoring Google Meet hardware issues in the admin console. They'll be able to kind of get better understanding what's going on with all of the Meet hardware. So you'll be able to start to see some missing display issues, missing display issues began rolling out in the admin console on the 21st of September. It may take a few days to go into effect on all domains. You'll be able to select which specific peripheral issue types you want to be alerted about with this new admin console setting. And that also began rolling out on the 21st and take a little while to get to you, up to 10 days. And then also, unless you've turned them off using the aforementioned settings, you will begin seeing email alerts for missing display issues beginning the 11th of October. And again, that may take a little while to go into effect. So that's then also paired up with, I thought there were some additional things here on the update, but that is it. Rollout for the missing display issues in the Emma console and peripheral issue type settings is going to start or has started on the 21st of September and gradually rolling out up to 10 days for feature visibility on both the rep release and schedule release domains. And then the configurability of peripheral email alerts by issue type, that one is starting a little bit later on the 11th of October and also rolling out within 10 days on a gradual rollout for both rep release and schedule release domains. And all going to all Google Workspace customers with Google Meet hardware devices. There we go. So that's all of your main published releases that we saw during the week. What we also saw, which we haven't seen for quite some time, is an update with Bard, and that came out on the 19th. So just a general kind of big update headline here on it. It's just that there's a new language or a new AI model being released. So it is now the latest and greatest version that is available to you within the Bard environment. Next thing here is Bard can now access helpful information from Google Apps and Services.
Not Workspace.
You can also collaborate with Bard. Ooh, yeah, well.
I'm so annoyed.
Do it. AI, right?
I know it's a consumer product, but come on.
Yeah, consumer versus, yeah.
Yeah, but like, okay, so make Duet do it.
It is.
I know that they're in sync, yeah, but not in sync, and they are like this. I'm sure Duet is, this is coming to Duet, but all that's probably why it's not. Actually, I'm realizing this as I'm ranting about this, is that it's coming to Duet, and you have to have a paid license for Duet to work, or at least be in the trial, and that's probably why it hasn't shown up there yet. But it's just frustrating because this is. Where it gets really useful, folks, being able to just say, hey, summarize all of the emails that I have pertaining to this one topic so that I don't have to go and look for them. Like,
do you think people are going to start just creating consumer or using their consumer Bard environment to then do work stuff if they don't have
access to that stuff? You'd have to be receiving the emails on the consumer account as well for things like that.
Not emails, for example, but for example, like, you know, I don't know, help me write a document about so and so.
Likely,
you know,
I would say that organizations material. That are not willing to pay for it, like, and don't have strong security policies about this. And honestly, it's probably something to talk to the Google team about and think about. Okay, yeah, I mean, you can turn Bard off, obviously, for Workspace accounts, but if you
but the user has to be logged in.
Yes, if they have a separate @gmail.com account, then yes. This is theoretically a security risk.
And almost everyone, most companies allow employees to log into their personal accounts on their devices.
Right. And this could be something where that is, like, if I'm not mistaken, at least part of it is using that data to train the model, which is still something that people have to be very careful with. So I would certainly start thinking about that, folks, if you are concerned about your data leaking out. Maybe Google can give us some IPs to block specifically for Bard in our firewalls to make sure that doesn't happen internally. Obviously, externally, maybe a little bit more difficult unless your antivirus is doing blocking at the machine level or something. But yeah, I can see why that might be a problem.
So that second update there was about being able to access some Google apps and services. Next, you can start to collaborate with Bard on your content within Gmail, Docs, and Drive. Next, Bard is going to be able to double check Bard's responses with Google It version 2. So I don't know what that is here. Let's see. Double check response by
it's a button at the end that says that you can just make sure that its sources are legit.
Matched up. Yeah, there you go. Next, we have the build off of conversations shared with you. So when the conversation with Bard is kind of happening, I guess you can continue that conversation in your account and build off of that, build off of what they started.
That could be interesting.
And then last but not least, on the Bard update, there's some more features being available in all supported languages. So Google, you can upload images with Google Lens, get some Google search images and responses there, and then modify Bard's response to be simpler, longer, shorter, more professional, or more casual in all supported languages.
And I think if Google was smart, they would have a pared down free version of Duet in workspace accounts to be able to do things like ask questions about your email or help me write, the basic. Like, it doesn't have to be anything super duper advanced, but to help prevent people from using their Gmail account to do stuff like that, as we were talking about before. And also it's a tease, right? It's an entry drug. It's almost like a trial. It's like, oh, you want to be able to do that? Pay more, I think that would be like a freemium model, if you will, for Bard specifically. I think would be a really good approach. I'm going to have to bring that up with the team.
Just a little some updates to the Drive for Desktop version 81 announcement that we had last time. Some clarifications here on what is happening with a new onboarding flow for Workspace customers. So if you would like to make an adjustment to that, there is an advanced Drive for Desktop configuration flag called the Disable Onboarding Dialog. And that will allow you to control what is happening there for the first-time users in Google Workspace organizations that are using Drive for Desktop. Because that new flow is currently turned on for all customers in the Canary program for testing purposes. And that's just kind of a little update there that we saw on that announcement. Everything else really remains the same. Same thing about all the new welcome things and all the different versions. There is a little also note here is that to resolve an issue found in version 81.00 to 81.04 for Windows, where the Drive for Desktop sometimes crashes at startup, Google released version 81.0.5 starting on the 18th of September. And to avoid that issue, you can update to the latest version by downloading that if it hasn't updated already. So that is all I've got for you in updates. We have a couple little things here in the news that Jesse will take you through. So that's about it.
Alrighty, so on to the news. Hope you all enjoyed the images that I put in and video that I put in on the YouTube side of the show for the news for the first time ever. Let me know in the comments or shoot us a chat or email or whatever to let me know how you enjoyed that. It certainly took longer to edit, so I hope it was worthwhile. And I'm going to do it again hopefully this week and onward into the future. All right, first article that I have here is from The Keyword, is how four historic buildings became Google Workspaces. See what they did there? Aha. Including my personal favorite, a location that I will be at twice, actually, in the next 3 weeks, I think, is the Spruce Goose Hangar in Playa Vista. This is the world-famous I love that place because of exactly this reason. Yeah. It's the legendary Howard Hughes' aircraft hangar for building the Spruce Goose, which was a wood-constructed plane because at the time they were using all of the metal for building other aircraft and, things like, gun shells and bombs and stuff like that in the war. And so there wasn't really a lot of metal going around, so he built it out of wood. Unfortunately, the thing was so damn heavy, it flew basically once, and that was the end of it. However, Howard Hughes is kind of like Iron Man in a way, or Elon Musk today, if you will. And essentially, it is a gorgeous, enormous hangar that Google took over and built a building in a building. And so there's some pictures here, which I will show up on the side, that is basically took the existing construction of that building and built an entire Google office building inside. And it was absolutely fantastic. And the, the design of it, of all of these really here, is something that Google is very proud of and that they try to do at most of their locations, is to remain true to the original history of the building and be able to restore a lot of the original work and materials from the building, as well as modernizing it and adding their Google effect to it. And they certainly did that at the Spruce Goose. Another location is Boland's Mills, which is in Dublin. Same thing. They took an existing building and completely restored the outside and built their own thing on the inside, as well as Pier 57 in New York City, which is an interesting one because it's built entirely out of floating concrete blocks, or caissons. I don't entirely know how to pronounce that word. Instead of conventional piles, and it was empty since 2004, and they took it over and made community classrooms, a rooftop park, a new food market, etc. And then the last one they have in the article here is Moffett Drive up in Sunnyvale, which also was built in the 1960s, home to the first ever mainframe and supercomputer firms. So not just is it historical, it's historical to computing and Silicon Valley. And Google took over and did the exact same thing. It is interesting to note that your local Google building in Chicago there, Steve, is not on this list. Is that not done being renovated?
Oh, not even close.
That would probably be why it's not on here, because I know that was an enormous building, and they were doing exactly the same thing. They were leaving the facade, and they didn't gut the entire building, but they have the subway station inside, if I'm not mistaken, as well as, we talked about this a while ago when they announced the project, but I guess it was probably only a year or so ago, and doing the same thing.
July 2022 was when they announced it. Yeah, I don't think that's going to start for a while.
Well, the next.
I think they said. They said they were going to potentially occupy it in 2026. So.
So we got a little while until that shows up on an article like this, highlighting the examples of adaptive reuse at Google buildings around the world. I love seeing inside Google offices. They are designed so well and so nicely, and of course my favorite, the goose nearby. Wanted to highlight this post for all of you. All right, on to the news for Google Podcasts. Yes, they're going to die, RIP, as of some point in 2024. They did not specify what that date will be. They did, however, in the blog post, address what I was talking about, downloads. It says specifically that, where the heck was it? Somewhere in the article here. Oh, crap. Consuming the content in the car. For podcasting, I gotta find it so I can get the wording for you exactly. But they said that you are able to do downloads and background play for free. Here we go. Earlier this year, we launched the ability to watch and listen to podcasts on YouTube Music in the U.S. without requiring a paid membership. Podcasts on YouTube Music in the U.S. already include access to downloads, background play in places like the car and on smart speakers, as well as the ability to switch between audio and video podcasts. We plan to make podcasts on YouTube Music globally available before the end of the year. Okay, that should have been available globally, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so basically it's changing. First, they have to finish rolling out YouTube Music, and then they're going to start shutting down at some point podcasts. The one question that I have for them as a podcaster is, I'm already publishing my show separately on YouTube, which is then also, because of the way they built it, publishing to YouTube Music, both in video form and in audio form, but through Anchor, which is what I distribute the rest of the show to the podcast world through. It goes to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Amazon Music and all the other services that we're available on. what's going to happen then if the RSS is coming in through there as well as being uploaded directly through the YouTube studio, I technically will have two copies of the podcast, and that just won't go very well for number of retention and building that out and confuse everybody. So they do say in this that we want to make sure we get this right, and we'll give fans and podcasters plenty of time to make the transition. So I imagine I'm not going to be the only one who's asking that question, and hopefully I will find the forum where they are gathering feedback, and I'll be able to, as I often like to do, get on a call with some of the team members and say, hey, this is a problem. You got to fix it. How are we going to solve this together? So if you're on that team over at YouTube Music, over at Google, or you know who is, give me a heads up, and I'd be happy to have a conversation about the experience here. And, you know, one of the reasons that we went onto YouTube as a show in the first place is because the general feeling we were getting is that a lot of people are switching to consuming podcasts, both in video and audio form on YouTube Music. And the metrics that they have are showing that as well. According to Edison, which is a third party, they say about 23% of weekly podcast users in the U.S. say YouTube is their most frequently used service versus just 4% for Google Podcasts. So looking at the writing on the wall, this was definitely inevitable. I'm sure not everybody's going to be happy about this. Google Podcasts has been around for a very long time and has been a real cornerstone for many folks. I'm hoping that they will take the best of both worlds here, move some of the people over from the podcasting team, who obviously have built a really solid app, and have them join in the YouTube Music app and you know, that team, and make this continue over into a fantastic app and user experience. All right, that's all I have to say on that. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I think, did we mention the 25th anniversary of Google? Did we mention that before? Did we? I don't know. You're muted, though.
You know, I was just muted. Sorry, I hit the wrong button on my deck here. My wife is on a meeting, so there's a little bit of background noise here. I was responding. I'm not sure, you know, I think maybe we did. Maybe not. I thought it was
early
September. We were talking about the 25th anniversary of Chrome, the browser. 25th or 20th, one or the other. But well, Google also had,
I don't know. The 20th was 20, but early September. But as part of that interesting little thing, they have a new visitor center, a Google visitor experience happening in Mountain View. So you can go visit Google offices and kind of see the campus. They have a kind of a new thing opening up there October 12th. So that'll happening in a few weeks.
Well, friends over at Google, if you want to get us an invite to that opening, we'll be happy to cover it live for a Workspace Recap. Just fly us out and, you know, we can do an Apple-style unveiling of the new...
I mean, you can almost walk. You can walk there, can't you?
Are you like European or something how big the United States is? Never mind how big California is.
I thought you were all eco-friendly people over there. You're supposed to walk
everywhere. I'd be happy to have a Tesla pick me up, but honestly, it should pick me up to the airport because it's a six-hour drive where I could be there in an hour on the plane. So, no, not walking Waymo needs to have a underground tunnel built and be able to drive it in that time before I would consider just sitting in a car for that long. No. I prefer to fly.
Yes. Yeah, there'll be some outdoor art there, some events and programming. There's going to be a little cafe, Google's first ever public cafe. And there'll be ways to explore some Google hardware products and services in person at the first brick-and-mortar Google store on the West Coast.
They had a store at Sunnyvale when we were there back in 2016. I know, because I bought swag there.
Yeah, I remember. Going to the store and getting stuff.
So, is that no longer there?
Yep. I remember that event. I mean, I was there with you. And
so
I
bizarre.
At the store too.
But so 400 people at the event, and somehow you and I did not meet.
I wonder. Yeah. I would probably
probably.
Next to each
by
other.
The way, probably. All right, let's wrap this show up. Yeah. 40 minutes, not 45. All good things there. That's all for this week. As usual, send us questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap and our website, workspacerecap.com. Hit thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, subscribe wherever you're listening. Thanks everybody for coming back every week and sticking with us. We appreciate every one of you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.